The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he is Ewan Cameron. Our predictions have been done. We are stuck into it now. The first weekend of the season is pretty much completed. Only one game left in the Scottish Premiership. And yeah, it was a good first weekend. Unless you're a Dunfermline fan, of course. In which case, it was absolutely terrible. But Ewan Cameron, we will obviously talk more about the Hearts Rangers game. I'm sure you've got your say on that, everything else in Scottish football. But in the meantime, how was your weekend?
First of all, can I just say, it's nice to be back. We're back, baby! Yes! For season 24-25, very optimistic.
Well, I mean, we were back good. Last week. And my voice is back as well.
No, last week was a preview show. This is the proper podcast. This is the proper show. This is what the people love. Mm-hmm. They love the quiz. They love the features. They love the spontaneity of it. The reviews of my movies and TV shows they love dearly.
Not sure they love that.
Our chat about the weekend and what we got up to. Do you know what I mean? We're back!
Yep, we are.
We're back! Hello, everybody. Back. We're here. Oh, shit, I forgot something.
What have you forgotten?
I just realised looking in the telly there.
Right, okay.
I forgot to do something.
You really should. You should stop looking in the telly. You're like, it just distracts you.
Look what I forgot to put on. I had it in my bag.
It's like, it's a Hearts tracksuit top.
Yeah, because I need to go and put that on.
Right. Okay, well, you go away and do that, and I'll just talk to them.
Tell them what's coming up.
Yeah, I will do. Lots coming up. We've got some brand new features on the show as well. Ewan, you don't need to take your trousers off.
I've told you this before. I've got nipples.
You do. And again, like, you don't need to strip fully down just to put a tracksuit top on.
But look how erect my nipples are.
Put your trousers, pull your trousers back up, Ewan. Pull your trousers back up.
They're up, they're fine.
Right, okay, that's it. No, don't take them back down again. No.
Tell them what's
right, that's
the
them back up. Right, okay, that's fine. Yeah, we've got lots of stuff coming up in the show. And by the way, thank you very much for all your comments that came in last week. As ever, we love your comments on YouTube and Twitter at BigFootballScore. So keep them coming. I want to hear a stream of consciousness from you when you're listening to the podcast. Whatever you think, whether you disagree or whether you agree or whether you think we're hilarious or we're not, please tell us.
A stream of what?
A stream of consciousness.
What do you mean by that?
See, when you speak and you're just sort of like talking, you're constantly talking and reacting to what you're hearing, that's called a stream of consciousness.
No, it's called, do you have an opinion on the show? What the fuck are you talking about? Stream of consciousness.
Nobody in
their life has ever said, today we'd like you to get in contact with the show with your stream of consciousness. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're speaking to? Do you think you're speaking to Bam Bergascoigne on University Challenge?
Well, no, because he's dead, so I wouldn't be speaking to him. So
stop trying to be something you're not. You keep doing this every other week. You keep trying to be something that you're not. I know who you are. You're Fife.
Right.
You're a Dunfermline supporter, right? You're not any better than me or anybody else listening to the show with your big words and what you are.
Consciousness is a big word, Ewan.
Well, it is for a lot of people.
I think you are doing our listeners a disservice.
Nobody says, nobody asks for an opinion by saying, give us your stream of consciousness.
I didn't say that.
Well, whatever it was.
Exactly. Just because I used a big word that you didn't understand
doesn't mean I understand it.
No, well, I mean, you're...
But I don't try to be something that I'm not.
Well, I mean... Maybe you should. Right, okay.
String of consciousness.
So, keep your consciousness coming in on our YouTube comments and on @BigFootballScott as well. So
we'll get to the weekend in just a second.
What now?
I've just also got in, right? So my
It's not Blue Peter.
I know it's not. I've got something else in my bag. So my mother-in-law is Irish. She's from Mullingar, which is just outside of Dublin.
Right.
And she's in her 80s. I love her dearly, right? And she was in Ireland visiting her family. But she only lives 5 minutes down the road from me in Falkirk. So she came back at the weekend there from our trip to Ireland, and my mother-in-law named Anne. She's lovely. And she brought back me a present. I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
And try it and tell me what you think. So I've got here a tube of Guinness chocolate truffles.
All right, I'd probably quite like them. I do like Guinness and I do like chocolate truffles.
It's dark chocolate. Do you like dark chocolate?
I love dark. I prefer dark chocolate, actually.
Smell the tube.
Right. That smells nice. Oh, they're like Lindt chocolate balls.
Yeah, but they're Guinness.
But they're Guinness.
Try one. Tell me what you think. So while he's trying that, let me tell you about the weekend. And good, isn't it?
Yeah, they're good. I like that.
Nice, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So yeah, thanks to my mother-in-law Anne for the Guinness chocolate truffles. We got them in the airport.
I noticed the other day I was listening to another podcast.
Why would you do that?
The one that Gary Lineker does.
Well, I can't have that sitting there, can I? Because that's sponsoring. No, that's free advertising for Guinness. I should put that away.
Aye, because, yeah. I mean, they need it. Yeah. but their podcast is legitimately sponsored by Guinness.
Is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Guinness, we're good as well for Scotland. Yeah. Come on, if you want to sponsor us, yeah, we're here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay.
So, anyway, the weekend. Going. I want to talk about the Olympics in just a second. We won't get to football, don't worry. Go and play my movie music thing. So here we are. We're back with the podcast for 24-25 and my movie TV reviews will continue as well because you love it dearly.
Wow.
Something for you to keep an eye on next time you're on Netflix. I said to Stephen about this on Saturday. It's a documentary. It's a three-part documentary and it's called Dirty Pop, The Boy Band Scam. It features the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and the man who created both those bands, Lou Pearlman, was also involved in a Ponzi scheme that also involved the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and the boys in the band didn't know anything about this. It is a fascinating story. And what I will say about it is this, is that he created these two bands. It was all part of a Ponzi scheme. And then he stole $500 million. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, well, I mean, well, that's...
That's not giving it away. It's not giving away.
It's giving most of it away.
It's not. But it tells you a story of how he used the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC in his Ponzi scheme.
To get $500 million.
And then $500 million. And then what happened to him ultimately. So it tells you the entire story of how Justin Timberlake, the Backstreet Boys and all that came to be who they are because of his help. But it was through illegal means.
Well, yeah, he set up a Ponzi scheme, yeah, which is illegal.
So it's called,
we knew that.
It's called Dirty Pop, The Boy Band Scam. Watch it. Three episodes. Brilliant.
I know what you're doing here. You're just going onto Netflix and looking at the thing that's at the top.
No, I've watched it. Do you want me to tell you the full story about what happened and how
But
no.
I mean, well, you usually do. So, well, no, I mean, I'm just let people watch it. And
watch
then
it. It's really good. Another thing that I want to bring up before we get into the football is I was watching the Olympics last night.
Oh, but Ewan... No, we don't have, it's not the big Scottish Olympics.
Yeah, but it's one of the biggest sporting events on the planet after the World Cup. It really is. Can I?
Well, I don't think anyone's doubting that, but
people are interested.
I don't think they are.
The BBC have record viewers for the athletics the other night there.
Right.
For the 100 metres.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the 100 metres. I know it's a big Scottish football podcast.
Where in that does it say Olympics?
I watched the men's final last night for the 100 metres. And your man, Noah Lyles, won the gold medal by 0.005 of a second. And you look at the photo finish and they are neck and neck. Why couldn't they have given Thompson from Jamaica and Lyle from America a gold medal?
Because one of them was in front of the other.
No, 0.005 of a second. On the record books, they both ran at 9.79. It says both 9.79.
Right, so
that's wrong. The boy from Jamaica a gold medal. They were neck and neck.
Let me just say, right, so if you've got one time, which was, what was it, 9.79.
9.79. They're both 9.79.
And if one is 0.005 of a second quicker, which time is quicker?
Yeah.
So which one is in front of
but
the other?
That's quite literally splitting hairs, which is like really difficult to do.
But it's a black or white situation.
No, it's not. It's really not.
It absolutely is.
9.7. As far as I'm concerned, right? If you both cross the line at 9.79, you both deserve a gold medal. 0.005 of a second is not. You can't even see it. You can't even see the hair. You need a magnifying glass. You need a microscope to see it. I think that was entirely unfair. If that was a horse race, it would be described as a dead heat.
No, it wouldn't.
It would, 100%.
It wouldn't.
It would. It would be described as a dead heat. That looked like a dead
right.
heat to me.
So can you answer this question for me, yes or no? Was the guy who won it, did he finish the finish line, or did he cross the finish line before the guy that finished second?
By five...
No, no.
Yes.
So he's won.
No, Stephen.
So he finished first.
Stephen.
So therefore he wins the gold medal. That's how it works. Anyway, Olympics chat is done. because I can't be bothered with it. Right, move on to our predictions. Lots of feedback from last week. Remember, always leave your stream of consciousness on the YouTube comments. I'm just going to say that from now on to annoy you now. Alan says, Ewan's predictions about Rangers give me hope for the season, so we can now expect a treble and a Champions League group stage for the famous.
Well, after watching Rangers on Saturday, I'm even more confident finishing second.
The Duke says, season has not even kicked off and both of you talking nonsense as regards to Clement, dearie me.
Well, just because Clement signs a new deal means hee-haw. Look at Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who got you to a European final, and 4 months later, he was sacked.
I mean, I would also point out that Ian Murray signed a 3-year contract extension in January and is now no longer the Raith Rovers manager.
After one game in charge.
And finishing second in the league.
Yeah.
Larky, which we'll speak about in a wee second, it only took 30 minutes of the new season podcast for Ewan to come out with his best joke yet. Hearts to finish third. Chris says, listen to the podcast yesterday. Ewan making the prediction that Clement won't be at Rangers come the new year. Less than 24 hours later, he signs a new deal. To be fair, I made that prediction as well. Mm. And I still don't.
I still stand by it.
I think there's a couple of managers that are on sticky wickets.
David Gray, one of them.
David Gray, one of them as well. But I mean, I think just because Clement signed a new deal
means hee-haw.
Scott says, I really like him, but if I ever met Ewan and the bookies, I would look to see what he was backing, then back the other horse. On dogs and cats, Pandora says, oh, we got a cat from the Dundee Cat Rescue also. He's a wee mischief. She's called Socks.
Nice.
This was in because I got a cat over the summer.
You rescued a cat, an 11-year-old cat.
Nicola says, don't say that about the wee cat, Ewan. Hubby and I rescued a wee cat and we only had him for 18 months. It broke me when he passed away.
Well, it's sad when you lose an animal.
Dylan says, the more I look at humanity, the fonder I become of my dog.
I'm the same. I'd much prefer my dog to humans.
Yeah.
I went on a trampoline with my dog on Sunday.
You went on a trampoline with your dog?
It was a doggy trampoline.
Okay, fair enough.
In a park for dogs.
These people must be multimillionaires because the person who invented the Puppuccino must be a billionaire by now.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere.
And you get those free-run parks that people just get a wee bit of land, fence it off, and they must be making a shitload of money.
I mean, I've not taken my cat out for a walk yet.
But you don't, do you?
Nah, I'm not going to do that.
You don't need to.
I let him out in the garden, supervised.
You keep an eye on it?
Yeah.
But cats are an animal that can go do their thing, and then they will always come back, so they always want to be fed.
But he's an old man, and I just want to keep an eye on him. And I want to make sure that he's here for a few years.
You're scared in case he doesn't remember to come home?
Aye.
Aye.
He's getting to that age.
And how is he? How's he been since you've had him?
It's been great. Wakes me up at about 6:15 every morning.
See, so I couldn't be doing with that.
That's doing my tits in.
Yeah. So how does he wake you up?
He sort of like puts his head into me like that because he went and purrs right in my face.
But what does he want?
Food.
But do you not keep food out for it?
Yeah, there's like dry food there, so you could eat that.
What about sardines?
Sardines?
Yeah, cats love sardines.
It's not a cartoon, Fionn. It's not Tom and Jerry. Like, you get cat food. Jesus Christ.
Right. Do you know what I used to do? It's so true, because seeing cartoons, Tom and Jerry, or anything that involves a cat, there's always like a fish or fish bone.
Mm-hmm.
But cats do like fish.
I tried fish with my cat and he didn't like it. I bought him salmon and he didn't like
it. You bought the cat salmon?
I did.
Wait a minute. You went out the way to buy your cat salmon?
I went to the fishmongers and bought him a fillet of salmon. Didn't like it.
So what did you do with it? Well, you clearly cut it up and put it in a bowl.
And he just wasn't fussed for it at all.
You wouldn't have eaten it then, would you have?
No, I put it in the bin, obviously. The cat had been picking at it.
Oh, yes.
I'm not a mink.
Did he smell it?
He just turned his nose up at it and then...
Did he lick it?
No, but I'm still... It was in his cat bowl. He's got a cat bowl.
Yeah, but still, you could have just fried it up or something.
No, I did fry it. It was cooked. I cooked it for him.
Yeah, no, but could you not
in a nice
then...
teriyaki sauce. No, I just cooked it normal. In fact, I boiled it. I boiled it for him. You know what he does like, though? They're the most repulsive things that I've ever seen in my life. It's like cat yogurt, right? Yeah. So he loves, bizarrely, salmon yogurt. And you remember Froobs that you used to get?
Aye.
It's like that, but for cats, and they're fucking howling.
The smell.
Oh my God, but he loves them. He goes absolutely off his tits for them.
I don't know if I'd be able to put up with that dry food, but then it's a bit boring having dry food because
crunchy. He eats pouches.
Oh, pouches, aye. The whiskers, wet food.
He's more of a Sheba man.
Yeah. So is it Sheba with the dry food, or do you just keep the dry food out for it?
He's got two bowls.
So when it's peckish through the day.
He'll pick it there. So, like, obviously, we're both out of the house just now. So yes. I can't be there to give him a pouch every.
Yeah.
A few hours.
Yeah.
So he'll just pick at the dry food. Right. So that's what he does. So
You should get a goldfish bowl because cats love to watch fish. A bowl.
Do you know what they love as well? Their own reflection.
They do. Cats love their reflection.
Shiny things.
Yes, they do.
They love shiny things.
Blinded by the light and all that. Mm-hmm. But no, honestly, get a couple of goldfish. They love watching it. See, when you're out,
he'll just kill and eat the goldfish.
See, when you're out and Anna's out,
yeah,
it needs some sort of stimulation. I know this because many, many years ago when Teresa had a cat, she had a fish tank and the cat would sit there for hours looking at the fish tank because it was stimulating for them and probably imagining what they would like to do with that fish.
He's got like a wee toy. It's like a wee sort of, it's like a fake bird and he... like throws it about and then chases it and mauls it.
But Stephen, he's not a child anymore. The cat's 11. Old cat.
But he's a cat.
Yeah, but does cats still at that age want to be playing with balls?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
He loves it, yeah.
I would consider getting a goldfish.
Okay, right. Do that. I'm not going to get a goldfish, but thank you.
And also, you know what else you'd get from the fishmongers? Go to fishmongers and actually get an actual fish with the head and the eyes and everything, like what you see in the cartoons.
Yeah.
And then just throw it in the kitchen and see what it does.
I'm not throwing fish about my kitchen. Yeah.
No, just throw it on the floor.
I've often thought, right, I don't go to fishmongers often. But see if you work in a fishmongers. Do you just permanently stinky fish?
Yeah. My pal Gary Huckle works in the fishmongers. Gary Huckle used to play football with him when I was a wee boy, Wester Hales. He works in a fishmongers.
Gary Huckle in the fishmongers, yeah.
In Stockbridge.
Right, okay. And does he permanently reek of fish? He must do.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, about Gary Huckle. So I used to play football with Gary Huckle all the time. And his sister was my first girlfriend, Lisa.
Ms. Huckle. Lisa Huckle.
Lisa Huckle.
Yeah.
Although Lisa Huckle was the same age as me, but I fancied her big sister, Laura.
Laura Huckle.
Who was a couple of years older
than me. Huckles.
The Huckles, aye. And we used to have, like, sleepovers. I used to go and stay in his flat.
Go and stay at the Huckles.
Dunbride and Grove.
Yeah.
Run to the Huckles.
Run to the Huckles, yeah.
Sounds like a TV show, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And I was out one day filming in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I was in Stockbridge. It was during the Edinburgh Festival. And I was going down to interview Tom Stade. You know, the Canadian guy, yeah. Really, really good. So me and the camera crew were down to Stockbridge, which is where Tom Stade was. To do some filming. Where he stayed. And then I was walking through Stockbridge and we decided what we were going to do while we were in Stockbridge to do a Vox Pop. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was on. It was about the festival.
For people who don't know, that's when you stop and speak to people on the street.
On the street and you ask them a silly question and anyway. So I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And as I was walking up Stockbridge, the fishmongers was to my left. And I thought, let's go into the fishmongers. That'll be a good shot for the camera.
Yeah.
I walked into the fishmongers in Stockbridge.
And don't tell me.
Yeah.
Gary Huckle was there.
Gary Huckle was there and I hadn't seen him for nearly 20 years. And Gary Huckle was there. There he was.
Did you have a good chat with Gary Huckle?
Oh, amazing. Brilliant. We caught up in old times, Dunbride in high school, football together.
Gary Huckle, if you're watching, if you're listening.
Yeah, love you, Gary.
Hope you're not stinking a fish. Let us know, actually, if anyone works in a fishmonger.
Aye. How do you get rid of that smell?
How do you not smell a fish? Because it's humming.
I know somebody who listens to the breakfast show I do on Greatest Hits Radio who texts the show regularly. What's his name again? Can't remember. Jim
Huckle?
Jim the fishmonger.
Jim the fishmonger.
What does he do? He's up the north of Scotland and he takes the fish directly from the boats.
Right, okay.
I mean, literally fresh off the boats and he... takes the head off them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his job. He kind of like fillets them.
Okay.
And then he throws the filleted fish and the tail throws away, the head gets thrown away, and he takes the white fleshy bit of the fish, then throws it into a thing, and then that thing gets transported all over Scotland for your fish and chips.
It'll be a big box of ice, I would imagine.
Aye, throws into ice. That's it. That thing, ice. And then the trucks come, lift up all the fillet of fish, And then they take them to fish and chip shops and to restaurants all over Scotland.
Do you know, it's amazing, right? So, like, that's obviously really, really fresh fish. And I can't believe we're still talking about this, right? But there's a place in Dubai that I've been to before. I don't think it's open anymore.
Oh, the fish market?
No. It used to be called the Rivington Grill, right? So this was in the last sort of 10 years. And they had fish and chips on the menu. And it was proper, like, fish and chips. Like you would get in a really, really nice chippy here.
Yeah, but
it
would be hamur and it's not that great.
No.
Was it cod?
It was from Peterhead.
Was it?
And they used to fly it in every day. And that's why it was about 45 quid for a fish and chips. But it was excellent.
Straight off the boat, in the ice, straight on a plane.
Straight on the plane. And then over. So it was like the next day you would get it. And I was like, well, fair enough. There we are. Anyway.
To all fishmongers and people who work in fish.
Fishmongers are welcome on this show.
Welcome. And Gary, nice to see you, my man. Hope to see you soon.
Finally, first review of the season from Wardy. If there's a man on this planet who talks more shite than Ewan, someone please inform me. Right, before we get on to the games at the weekend, a couple other things to go through. So St Mirren getting through in Europe last week. Well done. Convincing win.
Oh, wait, I know he listens to the podcast. What's his name? The goalkeeping coach there?
Jamie Langfield.
We're pals, right? And I speak to Jamie often during the season. I messaged him after their European exploits, congratulated him, sent him a gif of like people giving a round of applause and that stuff. He read it. Did he reply?
Didn't reply. Are you following up with him? Maybe he thinks you're a slave of Mars.
Do you think he realises who I am?
Possibly. Kilmarnock going out over in Belgium, but they do drop into the Europa Conference qualifiers.
They've got a chance there, by the way.
They play Tromso at home on Thursday, and St Mirren also at home on Thursday playing, is it Brann? SK Brann, another Norwegian team. Are you phoning Jamie Langfield?
Yeah, there he is.
I mean, he'll be training.
Probably. I'll leave him a message, though. Why is it not going through?
He's blocked you.
Has he blocked me?
I think he's blocked you. You've been blocked by Jamie Langfield.
Welcome to the EE voicemail.
Has he blocked me?
I think he's blocked you.
The person you've called is not available. Please leave your message after the tone. After you've finished your message, just hang up. Or to hear more options, please press 1.
Hi, Jamie. Sean Cameron here. I messaged you last Thursday when St Mirren got through in Europe, and you didn't reply back. And just to let you know, I'm really hurt and upset. I thought we were pals. Anyway, hope your next job is a hedgehog. Cheers, mate.
It's not very nice. He was probably busy. Anyway, St Mirren, do you think St Mirren and Kilmarnock, what are their chances of getting through then? Both Norwegian teams that are playing, I believe.
They've got a chance. Over two legs of football, they've got a great chance. Brilliant chance. I think one of the two will get through.
Okay, that's fine. They've still got another round after that.
Yeah, no, but I mean next round to the next round.
Yeah, to the next round.
Aye.
We've already spoken about Philippe Clement signing a contract extension. We're going to be joined a little bit later on in the show.
Yes.
By Scott from the Battle Fever podcast, is that correct?
Yes, I was on that last Thursday.
And we'll chat more about that then. Mm-hmm. Ian Murray sacked from Raith Rovers yesterday. So in their statement, they said that their form since the turn of the year has not been good enough. And
true.
That meant... that they've
got rid of him.
Departed. I've actually got a league table from the start of 2024 to now.
For the championship?
For the championship.
So what is their form like?
Their form is...
Where would they be in the league?
They got 28 points from 19 matches. 1-8, drew 4, lost 7.
But where would they have been in the league in that run? Fourth, that's... It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
You know,
I heard some stories, but it's not for me to divulge what the stories are. I told you about it.
I think...
I heard why he was booted.
I think Ian Murray has done a pretty decent job, I think you would say, at Raith Rovers.
I think he failed last year.
Second, I mean...
The kind of money they were spending, the wages they were forking out for some of the players.
Well, I do...
And they were so ahead of Dundee United and they had control of that league and they let it slip from their grasp.
I do think that they are spending quite a lot of money, which has probably influenced this decision because I think...
They expect better.
I think they expect better and I think they... I'm not saying they need to go up, but I think...
They have to. No, they have to. I mean, of course, when you spend that money, you're investing that kind of money.
Here's something.
You want success, and your aim and your goal is to get promotion. And when you start the season with a defeat, then instead of letting that linger...
And out the League Cup as well.
And out the League Cup as well. You don't want that to linger. So get somebody in now and arrest those issues. What was the score again at the weekend? I forgot. I know they got beat.
They got beat by Airdrie 1-0.
Reece McCabe to replace him?
No.
Good manager.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll go to Raith Rovers. I think he'll be...
Is he better than that?
I think he'll be holding out for a bigger job.
A Premier League job?
Yeah. I would imagine so.
Okay.
I think, you know, he's built a pretty decent squad at Airdrie. I think they're going to have a pretty decent season. I don't think he'll be going to Raith Rovers. There might be another manager who has been linked over the last 24 hours from the Championship. And
from
that
the Championship?
Is Dougie Emery.
Oh, Morton.
Heard a few people talking about that yesterday. And
what do you mean you heard?
Spoke to a few people yesterday and...
Did you pick up the phone to somebody?
And Dougie Emery is, I think, on their list for next Raith Rovers manager.
Has an approach been made?
I have no idea.
Okay, but Dougie Emery is on the list.
Dougie Emery is on the list.
Reece McCabe isn't. That shocked me if it wasn't.
He might well be, but I don't think
Reece
he'll
would
be
take
going.
It.
I don't think he'll be going.
Okay. We could phone up Shelley Kerr and ask her because that's her nephew.
Yeah, but we've already phoned up Jamie Langfield. So.
He gave me the...
So let's just leave that for now. What I just wanted to say, though, is, you know, obviously they've signed quite a lot of players over the summer and over the last sort of 18 months. The average age of the Raith Rovers team on Saturday was 30 years old. So they're obviously going down a very experienced sort of line. And with experience, that cost obviously a wee bit of money as well.
Yeah.
So you phone in Shelley Kerr.
Yeah.
Right.
See if Reece is going to take the job at Raith Rovers. Could be a world exclusive for us.
It could be.
Good morning.
Shelley, you're on the podcast. Be careful what you say.
Do you know what? There's a right good visual come up in your little kind of profile.
Well, my picture. Hilarious.
Yeah. A cartoon character.
Does it look like me?
No comment.
Shelley, it's just a quick one. We're sat here talking about Raith Rovers and I've just touted Reece McCabe, your nephew, to take the Raith Rovers job. Can you give us a world exclusive on this?
No happening. It's not happening.
There you go.
Stephen did say that. Is it definitely not happening?
Definitely not happening. Right. Definitely not happening.
And you know that for sure?
Yes.
Where is he going?
Nowhere.
Staying at Airdrie.
He thinks he's better than Raith Rovers. Is that what it is?
No, I'm not saying that.
So, right, okay. So that's definitely ruled out then because there's obviously he's such a great young manager and I think he's got big things ahead of him, but definitely not Raith Rovers.
Nah, definitely not Raith Rovers.
All right. How was your weekend?
It was absolutely brilliant. Great to have the football back.
Aye. Did you go to the Hearts game?
I didn't.
No,
I watched the majority of it. I actually went to the Airdrie Raith Rovers game. By the way, I do think Ian Murray getting the sack and losing his job is unbelievable.
I'm not surprised. He failed last year.
After one game and a League Cup campaign, I think it's really harsh.
Shelley
really
Kerr, harsh. Get your CV in there to Raith Rovers.
No, I want a job with you.
Shelley, you don't. You really don't. You don't want a job with you.
Right, Shelley, I'll let you go. Thanks for that, though.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, bye. There you go. Straight off the press.
Told you.
Definitely. You said it as well, right?
Reece McCabe will not be going to Raith Rovers.
No.
So yeah, I mean, I saw a few other people. Tam Courts was linked as well because he obviously worked at Celtic Hearts.
Yeah.
A couple of the guys who are now on the board at Raith Rovers, that isn't happening either. He's in Saudi Arabia at the moment. He's got a coaching job over there. He's not got a manager's job, but he's got a coaching job across there. He is not coming back to take the Raith Rovers job, so you can rule him out as well.
Will be someone within the Scottish football pyramid. More likely to be.
I think it would be more likely to be. It's John Potter and Colin Cameron who are in temporary charge just now. So we'll see what happens over the next few
years. I'm pals with Colin Cameron's wife because we grew up together in Wester Hills with Gary Huckle.
We're not phoning her. So you can rule out Reece McCabe and you can rule out Tam Courts as well. So that will not be happening. The name I heard yesterday was Dougie Emery. I don't have any more information than that. So I
don't
know. Don't
be putting money on it though.
No, I wouldn't put money on it. So, but that was the name that kept on coming up when I kept asking. So there we are. Right, time for some transfers, I think, you and Cameron. So I think we need...
Are we?
Yeah, I think we're doing some transfers.
Well, before we get to the football. Transfers, give me it.
We've got lots of transfers, Ewan.
By the way, punters hate Jim White.
Well, listen, I've been around for a long time.
They don't
like Jim White. They'll just have to get used to it, Ewan.
So we will get to the weekend's football in a couple of minutes, but let's first talk about the transfer window, which is opened until the
end
of the month.
It's open, and the wind is gusting in, and it's bringing in some big transfers.
Do you know what? See, like some of the punters, I think your voice is doing my balls in.
What do you mean, your balls?
Here we go.
I'm nowhere near your balls.
We'll fly through this. Celtic,
yep, they play in Glasgow.
Europa League holders Atalanta are confident of getting a deal with Celtic for midfielder Matt O'Reilly. £22 million.
Sounds Irish, is Danish.
Yes. So possibly 22 million. Chelsea apparently interested. Liverpool were touted for him as well.
Wow.
So Southampton were wanting
Southampton. If you know where Southampton is, it's right in the south of England.
Russell Martin has apparently said that Matt O'Reilly is his number one transfer target for this season. Might not get him though, if Atalanta are confident of getting him. So anyway, keep an eye on that one.
Russell Martin, of course, two first names for a name. Fantastic.
Motherwell not entertain offers of less than their record sale of £2.6 million for David Turnbull to Celtic in 2020 for fellow midfielder Lennon Miller.
Lennon Miller, of course. His dad was Charlie Miller, who used to play with Rangers and Dundee United. His uncle's Kenny Miller, and his brother's Lee Miller, who used to play with Falkirk. Great family.
17-year-old, he's been monitored by a host of clubs, including Liverpool, Newcastle, Brighton and Hove Albion, Tottenham Hotspur, Rangers, I mean, basically every club on the planet.
Everybody's wanting a piece of Lennon Miller.
Yes, they are.
But they're going to need to stump up big bucks, aren't they, Ewan?
This next line in the transfer gossip, can I just tell you once again, I've said it a million times on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again on this podcast. This nonsense that Rangers retain an interest in Lauren Shanklin is a pile of BS. Rangers will not be signing Lauren
Shanklin. That's bullshit. That's what he meant to say.
BS.
But he didn't want to say it.
Lauren Shanklin will be a Hearts player on September 1st. Now, I know that, what's his name? The Celtic striker that was on Sky yesterday.
Who was on Sky yesterday. Yeah, I know him very well. He's a good friend of mine.
What's it?
Yeah.
Sutton.
Yeah, Chris Sutton. I know him very well.
Chris Sutton says, this is what he said. I hear that Shanklin would like a move to Rangers. So very good wanting something, but you can't always get what you want.
Absolutely not, Ewan.
And Lauren Shanklin will not be signing for Rangers before September 1st.
People want rid of this segment on the podcast, but it's staying. It's very much here to stay.
Plymouth Argyle winger Morgan Whittaker,
of course,
is very much in sight for Rangers. They want him. They were linked with him last year.
Related to Forrest Whittaker, of course, the Oscar winning actor.
Yes.
And Stephen Whittaker is his brother.
He's a good player, that Morgan Whittaker. Former Scotland midfielder John Fleck is dreaming of a return to Rangers. 32-year-old was given training facilities
by
the
Ibrox
Club.
What do you dream about, Ewan?
Sorry?
Do you dream about a move to Rangers? What do you dream about?
I don't dream about a move to Rangers.
What do you dream about?
I dream about Hearts winning the league.
Hearts winning the league.
Winning the league,
You'll be dreaming for that for a very long time, Ewan.
And Adam Ida was booed by some Norwich City fans as a striker came on as a substitute in a 3-1 defeat by St Pauli after the 23-year-old missed their previous friendly with Hoffenheim, having turned up late for a team meeting and talks of a return to Celtic. And Brendan Rodgers kind of hinted that the Ida thing is happening. It's just taking a wee bit of time. I don't know why it's taking so long, but Celtic definitely need another striker, and we'll get to that shortly.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much. I need that back, actually. Right, let's move on to the football then. Premiership. Let's start with Hearts versus Rangers. It was the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. It kicked off the Premiership season, of course.
Yes.
And it was a goalless draw. So, Stephen Naismith said it was an entertaining game for a goalless draw.
It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was end to end. I thought Hearts were the better side in the first half. I thought Rangers were the better side in the second half. I think a draw was probably a fair result.
Hearts had 19 shots, Rangers had 9.
I will say this, right, about the game. There's going to be Rangers fans that are going to laugh at me here. I think that Rangers should be over the moon and delighted to come away from Tynecastle with a 0-0.
This was a first. Philippe Clement says he's never happy with just a point, but it was probably a fair result.
Yeah, but going into this game, the uncertainty around Rangers, I think they're
so you think Hearts have missed a trick here then, basically?
I think Hearts should be disappointed not to have won the game. Hearts, for me, were the favourites going into that game because Hearts were, without doubt, the favourites for that game. And I'd said in the preview show I thought Hearts would win. So I think Rangers going to Tynecastle with the difficulties that they've been having and to come away with a 0-0, that's a great result for Rangers. They should be delighted with that. Not angry, not upset. They haven't conceded. Yeah, they haven't won. But I think that was a good result for Rangers, whereas Hearts should be the one disappointed.
So, in terms of Hearts, some bright spots. Gerald Taylor, right back, all good.
The Costa Rican Cafu, he's our player, £500,000, and we'll sell him for tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
He's
okay.
Unbelievable. He has got everything in that locker. That boy, I'm calling it right now, is going to be player of the year.
Okay, well,
Gerald Taylor, remember that name. Gerald Taylor, right back. Every Rangers fan that tweeted me was banging on about Gerald Taylor. Celtic fans were banging on about Gerald Taylor. Jerry Taylor, who's a Celtic fan with a State of Mind Celtic podcast, messaged me, we'll take Gerald Taylor off you in
Jerry
January.
Taylor wanted Gerald Taylor.
Aye, he says, we'll take him off you.
Too many
January.
Jerry Taylors going around here.
Yeah. So he's in sensation. I thought Danda was very good for Hearts as well. My boy in the left back position who was signed from Livingston.
James Penrice.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Your stepson.
I spoke to his mum at the weekend and they're so proud of him and I'm proud of him. I'm just his pal. But well done, Jamesy.
So you said last week that Hearts are going to finish second.
They are.
Behind Celtic.
I'm even more confident today than I was last week.
I was just going to ask you,
We're finishing second this year. See when we made our substitutions, the players that we brought on, the boy that we just signed from Crystal Palace the night before in a 3-year deal that was at Dundee last season, we brought on Blair Spittle as well, we brought on Forrest. We've got an abundance of talent and we've got options.
We spoke about this on the big Saturday football show on Saturday, myself, Ewan, and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. Got a few people getting in touch, a few callers phoning in about this as well, whether Hearts could finish second. The general consensus was from the Hearts fans.
No,
they're not going to finish second.
Oh, they've got the blinkers on. They're not looking at the wider picture here of what's going on. Rangers have got problems.
Somebody asked a really good question. How many Hearts players would get into the Rangers team?
You can replace, I think, any of the centre-backs at Hearts, replace Davis.
Okay.
At centre-back.
One.
I think Gerald Taylor goes on ahead of Tavernier.
Ahead of Tavernier.
Because Tavernier's best days are gone.
Okay.
I do like Yilmaz at left-back. That's nothing against my boy James Penrice. Because he's only his first game at Hearts. But Yilmaz has been there, done it, got a T-shirt, got a lot of experience. In midfield, Conor Barron, he's an all right player. But I would have Blair Spittle over Conor Barron. I would have Danda over Conor Barron. I would have Barry Mackay before Conor Barron.
But he's still only one player.
I would still have Devlin before Conor Barron. I think Diamandé's Rangers' best player. Out in the wing, Cortez is flatter to deceive. I'm not quite sure whether he's good enough yet.
Well, this time last season, I said that Todd Cantwell flattered to deceive and I got absolutely hounded.
I think Cortez has still to prove what kind of player he is. Shanklin gets in ahead of Dessers. Tom Lawrence is, for me, a fizzy drink. I don't think he's all right, nothing special. I think there's three or four, possibly five Hearts players gets in that Rangers team to make them better. And I think Hearts are a better bench than Rangers as well, which is why I've got confidence in Hearts splitting the Old Firm this year. I think Celtic will win the league comfortably, and I think Hearts and Rangers will be fighting out for second spot, and I think Hearts will pip Rangers to second spot because of our squad and the depth in our squad is better than Rangers. Now, Rangers could go in and sign two or three or four more players, and then it might change my opinion. But as it stands right now, Hearts will finish second. I think Rangers are in for a torrid season.
Okay, so it's... home for Rangers next. Well, Hampden, they play Motherwell, and Hearts are away to Dundee.
That's a tough game, that, because I was impressed with Dundee yesterday. We'll get to that just
We'll get to that. Other game on Saturday, Motherwell Ross County, goalless draw. We didn't really speak much about Motherwell last week in the preview show, and we didn't speak about them or St Mirren, really. So we'll spend a wee bit of time doing that now. Motherwell, obviously, post Theo Bear, Ross County, post Simon Murray as well, and both teams sort of lacking a wee bit of attacking threat.
I thought Motherwell were the better side and created the better chances. I think Laidlaw was the man of the match, the Ross County goalkeeper. He made some really good saves, and I think Motherwell probably edged it in chances and probably deserved the win, although the Motherwell fans were booing at the end of the game and they're being quite critical of Kettlewell. I like him as a manager. Too many draws for my liking last season, but I think that look at the job he did last year. And Theo Bear was outstanding. They've got themselves, what, $1.4 million in the bank because of Theo Bear. And they've got the boy Lennon Miller there, who is going to be worth a good few million in the coffers if they do sell him. So I like Kettlewell. I like Motherwell. They'll be fine this season and should have won at the weekend.
Ross County, they'll be delighted with a point.
Oh, 100%.
Given what happened on Saturday. They play Dundee United next at home. And, you know, I think we both kind of said Ross County will be down near the bottom.
Yeah, bottom three.
So already this game against Dundee United,
huge.
It's looking like a big game already. Yeah. Like, their home form kept them up last season. Mm-hmm. They were really good under Doncowie at home. Beat Rangers, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Beat Hearts.
Their home form is going to be really important.
That's what will keep them in the league, if they're to stay in the league. But I like Dundee United yesterday as well. Defensively, they've got issues, but I think Ross County will be there or there's about for relegation. I think they will go down. I think they will finish 12th. But as you say, if they can replicate their home form from last season, this season, they'll have a chance of staying up.
Dundee United 2, Dundee 2, the Dundee derby was back. It was a packed out Tannadice. Trapanovsky looks like a bit of a sign-in for Dundee United.
Well, a few of the players look good for Dundee United. They brought in 10 new players. And if that's them in their first game of the season, once they get up and running, they get to know each other even better, I think they could be a really decent side this year.
I think defensively, Dundee United look ropey.
Agreed.
I think they look a bit ropey at the back. I'm not convinced by Ross Graham at all. Obviously, it was him who gave away the
penalty.
He didn't do much wrong before that, but I think he's got that in him. Just that he's got a stupid mistake in him.
Well, it was a couple of mistakes that conceded the goals.
Exactly. And I think that might be, if they can keep the boy Trapanovsky fit, and obviously they've got like Louis Moult still to come in. I know he came on yesterday, but he's probably not fully fit. So, you know, I don't think goals will be an issue, but I think defensively that might be an issue. Dundee, I was really impressed with as well, to be honest with you.
It's a good game.
Came back twice. Obviously, you know, we'll get to the penalty in VR, WTF, and all the rest of it. That's coming up very shortly. But a really decent game of football, I thought.
I loved it. I've been screaming for the Dundee derby for I don't know how many years we've been doing this podcast. And that's why we need clubs like Dundee United and Dundee in the Premier League, because look at Tannadice yesterday. It was packed to the rafters. The atmosphere was amazing. The game was superb. It was a great advert for Scottish football. And that's why we need teams like Falkirk and Dunfermline and Partick Thistle and Raith Rovers in the top flight of Scottish football. When you look at what Dundee United and Dundee bring to the league, right, when they play against each other, and the travelling support that they will take right across this country in the Premier League. This is why I am an advocate for expanding the league, because there's clubs in the Championship right now that would enhance our league and bring so much more colour, bigger attendances than what we've had in the past. I thought that was a great advert for Scottish football and a great advert to why we need to expand the top flight of Scottish football.
Elsewhere, yesterday it was St Mirren 3, Hibs 0. So St Mirren obviously following up their cracking result during the week in Europe with a brilliant win at home to Hibs. Odowu, it was, and Smith with 2 goals in 2 minutes. So really, really good result for St Mirren. Stephen Robinson, again, I was thinking about it last week. I listened back to the podcast. We didn't really speak about St Mirren at all. We didn't even mention them for the top six, which I think is probably a mistake, because they will be there or thereabouts for getting to the top six next season.
Do you know what the biggest surprise is for me?
So sorry, St Mirren fans. Yeah.
But do you know what's the biggest surprise for me? Robinson's still there. After the job that he did last year, I'm surprised that nobody's knocked on their door. They might have done, and they may have batted them away, or it might be a job that Steve Robinson didn't want to do. But
do you think that Stephen Robinson's maybe been a wee bit burnt before in the fact that he left Motherwell to go down south, it didn't go well, and then he's come back up,
learned his lesson,
and he's like, well, I'm a good Scottish Premiership manager, because he clearly is.
And some are in Europe.
They're in Europe.
Yeah. I listen, he's a great manager. He's done a great job there. And they thoroughly deserved their win yesterday. When Hibs were looking for a manager, Robinson was in the frame, apparently.
And they've gone for David Gray.
And they went for David Gray.
Yeah, Hibs are...
they're in a mess.
You know, they got through in the League Cup. They did lose to Kelty.
They're going to get absolutely obliterated from Celtic.
So they've got Celtic this weekend, and then they've got Celtic the following weekend as well.
It's not going to be a good 2 weeks for Hibs and David Gray.
David Gray said the performance was unacceptable, and things need to get better quickly.
He's not got much time. He'll be like Ian Murray. He's going to be like Ian Murray. He'll be next to the door. And I hate to say it, because David Gray is a legend at that football club. He's gone down in history after that header against Rangers in the Scottish Cup. And I know there are some Hibs fans who are of the opinion they should never have given it to him for his lack of experience. And But also, I don't think he's been helped by the board with the squad that he's inherited. I don't think they've really helped him.
Now, there's obviously problems behind the scenes. You saw the statement from Bill Foley, who's now a minority stakeholder
who owns Bournemouth.
And I think Lorient in France.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, well, if Hibs listen to us more, they'll do better.
Basically saying, we didn't want David Gray.
I mean, what I would point out is Lorient got relegated last season. So, you know, there is that as well. So they haven't got everything right. However, I believe... it looks like there's a wee bit of clashing between him and his consortium and the Gordons, who obviously own Hibs.
Yeah.
They brought in Malky Mackay as the director of football. Why, I don't know.
And they brought in David Gray.
And David Gray was already there as a coach. I just think that...
I mean, what happened there is that the Gordons ignored the Foley's advice. That's what it read like in the statement that they put out. I don't think they probably agreed with the way they were going in regards to the management structure. The executive structure, and they'll be sitting back going, told you so.
You've got your man Ben Kensel, who's sitting there on a huge wage by all accounts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like there's going to be another manager departing imminently.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess, and they were awful. I mean, they were literally awful. What have they been doing pre-season? They were poor.
They were absolutely shocking.
And St Mirren were easily... the best on the day, and they're going to have another decent season with a very good manager who is experienced, been there, done it, got the t-shirt. I know it's a cliched thing to say, but Hibs need somebody like that.
St Mirren up to Pittodrie next to take on Aberdeen. Obviously Aberdeen take on St Johnson tonight, so we'll speak about them more next week on the show. And as I mentioned, Hibs playing Celtic next weekend, and Celtic obviously starting off their season 4-0 winners against Kilmarnock.
Four going on 10.
Probably one of the most straightforward matches they'll have. It was Hatate, Scales, Kuhn and Ralston rounding it off for Celtic. And I thought Celtic looked really good.
They were very good. See that midfield three?
Mm-hmm.
McGregor, Hatate and O'Reilly. I message you in the WhatsApp group, Celtic can't let O'Reilly go. They can't.
I don't think they will.
They can't.
I don't think they're going to. I think they'll get another season out of him and then he'll leave. I don't think they're going to sell him.
They'd be daft to, especially in this new format for the Champions League. That midfield three is very, very good.
It also looks like, I know Maeda was out with a wee injury yesterday.
I don't think
Forrest looked great. I thought Kuhn played really well, and I thought Kyogo looks like he's coming back onto a game after, you know, he had quite a poor season by his standards last year.
I just want to highlight Forrest. Let's be honest here. The boy is just the kind of professional you want around your football club. He doesn't get a sniff for a number of months. He's there. He gives his all. Number of years. And then at the tail end of last season, he got his chance. He took his chance. He got himself into the Scotland squad. So not only is this good for Celtic, but it's also good for Stevie Clark in Scotland, because I thought he was excellent yesterday. So if there's any young player out there want to see to be a professional footballer and how you apply yourself, then James Forrest is somebody you should be studying.
If only he could have taken James Forrest to the Euros and played him. I mean, that would have been wild, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Anyway,
well done, James Forrest, a proper professional that every club would love to have.
Kilmarnock, you and I had a wee bit of disagreement about this last night on WhatsApp. You said they were embarrassing.
They were.
I thought that was a wee bit harsh. I just thought Celtic played really well. Kilmarnock, obviously, Danny Armstrong was rested because they're looking forward to their European game. Still think Kilmarnock will have a pretty decent season, though.
They turned up already defeated. And I hate that attitude. They turned up knowing they were going to get beaten. They were just going to take their spanking and go back home.
Well, I mean, I don't think that.
They set their stall out from the beginning.
I don't think that.
As soon as the ball kicked off in the first 10 seconds, this Kilmarnock back six were on the 18-yard line and Vassell, their only striker, was sat halfway between the centre circle and the 18-yard box.
But Ewan,
and they just were camped in.
Ewan.
Camped in.
They do that all the time.
No, they don't.
They do. And they do that all the time when they're playing bigger teams.
Anyway.
And lots of teams do. And the whole reason for that is they're trying to frustrate Celtic and try and keep it 0-0 for as long as possible.
Right, it lasted 20 minutes and they went 1-0 down. And they still played the same way when they were 1-0 down. They didn't create a chance. They didn't try and get forwards. They boot up the park and go. Do you know what it was like? It was like me playing FIFA. See, when I'm playing against a better team and a better player,
right.
I kick the ball up into the corner flag.
So you're allowed to do it on FIFA, but Derek McInnes isn't allowed to do it in real life.
Aye.
Okay.
This is not a computer game.
Right, okay.
The Kilmarnock fans deserve better. They paid good money to go to Parkhead to get a restricted view, and they saw fucking hee-haw.
I would remind
their team,
you.
Their team was parked inside their own 18-yard line while Celtic pinged it about like a game of FIFA, side to side, played some intricate passing, and Kilmarnock stood there like
Celtic are much better than Kilmarnock.
The Kilmarnock players stood there like chess pieces. Like statues.
Because Celtic have better players than Kilmarnock.
Of course they did, but go and put a challenge in. Put somebody into your OZ, they did. Fucking nothing. It was embarrassing.
Celtic's revenue last season was 120 million. Kilmarnock's was 6.9.
Yeah, still doesn't stop you from kicking somebody.
What would that achieve?
Show a bit of something.
Shut up.
Although some of the fans might have not seen it in the restricted viewing area, but at least do something.
Kilmarnock are away to... they're playing St Johnstone next week, and Celtic, as I mentioned, playing Hibs. Right, let's move on to the Championship. Friday night, it was Falkirk versus Queen's Park. Finished 2-1. I didn't see the game. I was out on Friday night, but by all accounts, really, really lucky win for Falkirk.
That's a lie. Queen's Park
were by far the better team.
That's a lie. And I
Falkirk
watched the game.
Somehow managed to scramble a 2-1.
I live in Falkirk, and I said to my son at 5:30 on Friday night, do you fancy going to see... Falkirk, it's just on the road from us.
Nah.
He was like, why would I want to do that?
Precisely.
That was his question
to me. You've raised them well.
He says, why would I want to do that? I went, what's that? It's a big game. It's opening game of the season. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Let's go and watch Falkirk versus Queen's Park. He wasn't having it. You know what he did?
What?
He went to see Deadpool and Wolverine with my older son.
Right, okay.
Didn't watch Falkirk.
He would have enjoyed that more, I think.
So, obviously,
I didn't see the game. I was just assuming that Falkirk spawned it as usual. But no, I believe that Falkirk were a better team.
I can't remember his name. The boy, I think he was at Raith Rovers, number 8, midfield, Falkirk. John McGlynn knows him quite well.
Oh, yeah, the boy Spencer.
Is it Spencer?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He ran the show, he's very good.
Okay, well, they played Dunfermline on Saturday, which I'm very much not looking forward to.
Cole Donaldson, who I'm pals with, he's a big Hearts man. Centre-back.
Yeah.
He picked up an injury in the 81st minute, and it didn't look good.
Right, okay.
And they've got problems at the centre-back position, because I think they had somebody from midfield playing at centre-back at the weekend there.
Now... I'm going to say this about Falkirk. Obviously, I tipped them to go down last week, which was a bit tongue-in-cheek. I do think they'll be fine this season. I don't think they'll be anywhere near getting promoted.
I think they've got a chance to get into the playoffs.
I don't think so. But anyway, I think Falkirk fans are quite rightly enjoying themselves just now because they're off the back of a really good season in League One, mm-hmm. playing against the plumbers and the electricians and the... folk who work in the bins and stuff, mm-hmm. And obviously going unbeaten. But I do think that Falkirk fans perhaps next season will expect to kick on and go for the title.
Yeah.
But if you've still got other teams in the Championship who are way outspending Falkirk, mm-hmm. Dunfermline, traditional big clubs who have big gates and big attendances, lots of season ticket holders, big commercial income. But if you've got other teams like you do in the Championship who are spending a lot of money from owners or benefactors or investors, Falkirk fans are going to get frustrated next season as well when they start getting outbid by players just like Dunfermline have this season.
Stephen, I am going to say to you two words after what you've just said. Leicester City.
Okay. What about them?
They won the league. And look at the resources that they were up against. They still won the league. They beat Man City. They beat Chelsea. They beat Spurs, Liverpool, Man United. All of them outspent.
Just remind me, and who owned Leicester City? Was the guy...
Some rich guy.
He was a billionaire.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
But still, the resources in comparison was a drop in the ocean, and they still did it.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it can be done, and that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't rule Falkirk out. It can be done.
Falkirk are not going to win the league. I'm telling you that now. If they win the league, I'm not coming on this podcast ever again. Ever again. I do fully expect them to beat Dunfermline on Saturday. In fact, I go as far to say if they don't beat Dunfermline on Saturday,
you'd be shocked.
It's a humiliation for Falkirk. And John McGlynn should be seriously considering his position if they don't beat Dunfermline on Saturday, because we're in a bigger state.
Next Monday's podcast should be a cracker, no matter what the result is, because John will be back.
No, but I mean, I'm fully accepting of the fact that Falkirk are going to beat us on Saturday. They should beat us. And as I said...
This is mind games now.
If a miracle happens and we somehow manage to scrape a draw or something... That's an embarrassing result for Falkirk. So,
what else happened in the Championship at the weekend?
As we discussed, Airdrie beat Raith Rovers by 2-0. That was signalling the end for Ian Murray at Raith Rovers, and Rhys McCabe will not be going to Raith Rovers, as we've learned a wee bit earlier on in the podcast. It was 0-0 between Partick Thistle and Morton. Not much happening there. Partick Thistle, of course, one of the favourites for the league.
They're not winning the league, though.
They are one of the bookies' favourites, though.
Yes.
Livingston 2, Dunfermline 0. Good first half from Dunfermline, by all accounts. Probably should have been in front at half-time.
Yeah.
Horrible second half.
And you missed the penalty.
Missed the penalty. It was the last kick of the game, so it didn't really matter.
Stephen,
so,
I think you might be right, by the way.
What?
About Livingston.
Yes.
You now, said, and I disagreed with you.
I think a lot of people have just written off Livingston, but you look through their team... They've kept a lot. Pittman's still there. Mm-hmm. Kelly scored on Saturday as well. Yenge up front. They've still got their goalkeeper from last season, who I'm quite impressed with as well. I think Livingston will be there or thereabouts.
I think you're right.
And as much as it's obviously disappointing for us to lose the first game of the season, there's going to be plenty of teams go to Livingston and don't win.
No. I ruled it out last week in the preview show.
Yeah, but that's more of your blind hatred for Livingston more than anything
else. It's my anti-West Lothian agenda.
It is. You do have an anti-West Lothian agenda. But I think Livingston will be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. I think...
You might be right.
Elsewhere on Saturday, another crisis club in the Championship, Hampton Accies, 0, Ayr United 2. So a good win for Scott Brown, first game of the season. And again, they'll have hopes of pushing for the title as well. Signed a lot of players over the summer.
I think Scott Brown's a good manager.
Spent a bit of money. I know that they're doing up Somerset Park as well, a new stand there as well, which looks pretty cool. So
they're serious.
They're going for it. Yeah. They are going for it this season.
Good luck to them.
But there's only...
As for Hamilton, I've heard some stories.
Well, yeah.
Problems galore there.
Big problems.
Massive problems.
So there was...
Got a couple of pals at Hamilton. I might try and get them on the show next week.
There's players... who walked out last week because of unpaid wages and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, I mean, you never like to see that. So we'll see what happens. League One was Stenhouse...
Do we have to?
Yeah, we'll run through it. Stenhouse Muir 2, Arbroath 1. So Stenhouse Muir were in League 2 last season. Arbroath were in the Championship last season. Both now in League 1. Stenny winning by 2-1. A poor start for Arbroath, who I tipped for the title. So, I mean, my tips for the title have been absolutely shocking. Apart from Celtic this weekend.
We can't really get it wrong with Celtic.
Partick Thistle obviously didn't win. Arbroath didn't win. Alloa 0, Queen of the South 0. Your tip for the League One title, Queen of the South, getting off to a draw. Cove Rangers 1, Annan 3. I don't know how long Paul Hartley's got left at Cove Rangers. It can't be long.
Since his return, they've been shite.
They've been terrible. Inverness 1, Dumbarton 1. Again, another club. Who are struggling big time. Inverness and Dumbarton, who were in League 2 last season. Inverness, who were in the Championship.
That's a good result for Dumbarton.
Totally, they'll take that. And Montrose won, Kelty Hearts won. My dad was there on Saturday. Kelty Hearts had a couple of really good chances. Final 5 minutes, didn't take them.
That's a good result away from home, though.
They'll take a 1-1 away at Montrose, because Montrose are always pretty decent in League 1. So yeah, pretty tight. In League 2, 4-0, Clyde 0. Stranraer 2, Spartans 2. Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Peterhead 1. Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 2, Elgin City 4, East 5 2. So again, my tip for the League Two title, East Fife getting beat again on Saturday. So it's still an Albion, by the way. Scored both their goals in injury time. They were getting beat 1-0 and managed to come back. So, right, here we go. Let's get some refereeing decisions done, shall we, with VAR WTF.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
It was back, kind of, unless you were at the St Mirren Hibs game, because it just kind of broke for a wee bit in the second half. Let's start in chronological order. So, Conor Barron's handball.
No penalty.
No penalty was given. No penalty, according to Ewan Cameron.
Nah, not having it.
Our friends of the podcast, Des Roach,
Behind the Whistle,
Stephen Conroy from Behind the Whistle podcast, said it should have been a penalty. It should have been reviewed and given as a penalty because, obviously, I know what you're going to say here. According to the IFAB rules, but according to the IFAB rules,
but we're not. This is not the IFAB rules, though.
No,
we're doing our own interpretation of what the handball rule is. And Willie Collum
now
went round to every manager and explained that to him, and how Des and Steve, our friends from Behind the Whistle podcast, don't know what the Scottish referees have said to the managers is beyond me.
So
I'm sorry, boys, I love you dearly, but you've got this wrong.
What I actually think is, I think stuff like that shouldn't be a handball. I shouldn't be given as a penalty.
I agree.
Because I don't think Conor Barron, I don't think he's in an unnatural position. But according to them, it was a penalty. However, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward now in terms of handball penalties. If that's the rule,
brilliant.
If that's what they're going to do, great.
There was an example that Sky put out yesterday of a similar handball that was given as a penalty. And it was Kilmarnock versus Rangers. John Souter on the edge of the box slid in to block a cross, and his hand was tucked in.
Yeah.
And it hit his arm, and they gave a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to Conor Barron. And what they're saying is, last season.
That wasn't similar, though.
No, but as
Conor
in
the hand was standing up.
Sorry? No, but as in it was tucked in. Right. As in the arm was tucked in, he was sliding. It wasn't out, it was tucked in as he was sliding. And as James McFadden was saying, that's never a handball, and neither is Conor Barron. If you've played the game at any level, John Souter conceding a penalty for that against Kilmarnock Ibrox, shouldn't it be a penalty? If you've ever played the game, you know that's not a penalty, and Conor Barron isn't a penalty either. I think the good point that you've made is let's see if that's interpreted consistently throughout the season.
Yep.
But I love what the referees have done this weekend. I think they got one wrong at Celtic Park. We'll get to that in just a wee second. But I think, generally speaking, I think it's been a brilliant weekend for the referees. I think they did a good job all in all. I think, thumbs up for me.
Okay, Dundee United versus Dundee Derby. David Dickinson was in charge. Trapanovsky, this is one of these funny ones because he was right through on goal. He does get his shot away, but then McCracken absolutely wipes him out. It was outside the box, so it wouldn't have been a penalty. But it's one of those classic situations where...
get your shot away.
But he still gets wiped out.
Gets wiped out afterwards.
It's still a foul.
Yeah.
It's
weird that, isn't it?
And it's happened for years in football.
Do you think they should have pulled it back and given a free kick?
Probably, yeah. I think it was...
and give the keeper a yellow card?
Yeah. I think that Dundee probably got away with one there, to be honest with you.
Jamie Langfield's messaged me.
Okay.
Remember, I sent him a voice note saying, hope your next job is a hedgehog.
Okay. Why do you take so long to do stuff on your phone? You're such an old man sometimes.
Yeah, he's having a pop.
Yeah.
Because he's at training.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Why the fuck are you messaging me? I'm at training.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah. So the penalty that was eventually given for Dundee, so there was a bit of debate whether Simon Murray was offside or not. He was eventually ruled onside.
He was onside.
And that meant that it had to be a penalty. It was a silly challenge from Ross Graham. Catches him on the ankle. Mm-hmm. Stonewaller.
There was only one other incident in the Dundee game. The Dundee fullback, he does go for a header and it skiffs his arm. When it's tucked in a wee bit, but it skiffs his elbow. And they kind of looked at it on Sky and asked if it was a penalty or not. Again, very similar to Conor Barron. I don't think it's a penalty.
I don't think so either. Not much happening. Motherwell, Ross County, St Mirren, Hibs.
Nah.
Celtic, Kilmarnock, Don Robertson in charge. The big one you'll have seen on social media. So Kyogo is through.
Penalty.
Clattered by McCrory.
Penalty.
I think there was some debate whether he was offside or not, but
the lines would have been used.
I think the lines would have been used, and I think he was onside.
Possibly it was between him and Mayo on the other side.
Yeah, I think.
But it's a penalty.
The general consensus is he was onside.
85th minute, he goes through and goal. He controls it. He doesn't have a shot. He controls it and takes it around the goalkeeper. And I think that he gets to it, and he probably scores into the back of the empty net, but gets taken out before he can get to the chip over the keeper. It's a penalty for me.
Yeah, I think it's a penalty as well.
But apart from that, I thought the referees had a brilliant weekend.
Okay, this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, time for a brand new feature on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. It's called Overrated, Underrated.
Oh.
Okay. So, this is the new bit. Each week, myself or Ewan are going to nominate something that is either overrated, in our opinion, or underrated, in our opinion, and you will cast your vote on at Big Football Scott.
Can I start?
Ewan Cameron, you are first up. What would you like to put forward as either overrated or underrated?
Right, I'm going to hide my lips here when I say what is overrated.
Okay. I mean, at least keep it Scottish football. Please, for the first week.
Do you not agree with me?
Just keep it Scottish football, mate. Right.
You might have to use a beep machine for that.
Right. Just.
But do you not agree, though?
Just nominate something for Scottish football. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go with something that's overrated.
Something overrated in Scottish football.
Overrated in Scottish football. The most overrated thing in Scottish football is the Killie Pie.
The Killie Pie.
Overrated.
Overrated.
I don't see what makes it any better than any other pie. I like the pastry, don't get me wrong.
Do you think it's just because it's got a catchy tagline? Say aye to a Killie Pie.
Possibly. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's good. But is it as good as the way they talk about it? Nah. I mean, I've had some good pies in my time. Quite a few pies in my time.
So the first nomination this week for...
It's an overrated thing.
Overrated, underrated.
Yeah.
Is the Killie Pie.
Yeah, and also, I would like to say that... Also overrated.
Okay. Lovely. So get your vote in on our social media.
Can I just ask the people who are listening and watching this?
At Big Football Scott, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Have a guess at what I said was overrated that's been bleeped out.
And then tell us whether you think a Killie Pie is...
Overrated or underrated?
Overrated or
not.
Just
overrated. No, is it overrated? Yeah. Not underrated, is it overrated?
Is it overrated?
Listen, it's a good pie.
Yes.
But... I think the way we go on about it, or not me, but the way that people go on about it, like it's the best thing since the second coming of Christ. That's not even happened yet, is it? Oh, you know, he did come back.
Yeah, famously. You heard the Easter before.
Did he roll the stone away or did somebody else roll it away?
Nobody knows.
But there was a stone, wasn't there?
And then it was rolled away.
Did he do it? Did he, like, is it like force powers?
Well, I think so.
Like a Jedi powers?
Possibly.
Because it was a big stone.
I'm guessing it would have been. Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, it's the way they talk about the pie, it's a bit like the second coming of Christ.
Okay.
And it's no for me, it's overrated.
Okay, at Big Football Scott on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can also watch us on YouTube as well. If you've never watched us before, just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the YouTube channel. Subscribe to it as well so you don't miss a thing. And remember, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air from 6 o'clock on Clyde One across Glasgow and the West every single weekday night from 6 p.m. taking your calls. And then obviously every Saturday, and we're on everywhere else. 4th One, West FM, TFM, MFR and North Sound One with the big Saturday football show. Myself, Ewan Cameron and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. Now it is time for this. Who are
you? Who are you? Oh!
So
who came up with this idea? It's a cracking idea.
It's the masked footballer.
Yes.
Okay, the masked footballer. Another new bit on the show. So producer John, it's producer Scott today, but producer John has been involved. They have sourced a footballer.
Yes.
And we will keep asking questions throughout the season until we reveal who the masked footballer is.
Correct.
So it's a series of yes or no questions that we're allowed to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got one question and one question only.
And this footballer has given us a recording of aye or no to aye the question no. So we can hear his voice.
Yes.
Or have they disguised the voice? Hope they haven't disguised the voice.
No, Producer Scott, is the voice disguised?
Aye.
Okay, yeah. So it is.
Right. Yeah. So is it definitely disguised?
Aye.
And is that the footballer's voice there disguised?
Aye.
Right, okay.
So we can only ask one question each week.
Yep, aye.
But we're not speaking to you, I'm speaking to Stephen.
Okay.
So we have to come up with a question that narrows down so who we think it is.
I think...
It's only one question a week.
Yes, I mean, I think we can probably deduce that this person is Scottish.
I think even with that squeakiness, you can hear Scottish.
So that's not our question.
No, it's not.
But,
we're talking amongst ourselves now. We haven't asked a question yet.
So I think this person is Scottish and therefore they've played in Scottish football. So we can certainly park that.
Yeah. So what is our question? So let us discuss what the question should be.
Okay. I was thinking, for a sort of straight off the bat, have you ever won any senior caps for Scotland? So, like, that would narrow it down to somebody who's played with Scotland.
Or not. Do you think that's a good first question?
Well, I don't know. I'm putting it out there. What else would you suggest?
Won a trophy?
Loads of people. Because it could be anything. They could have won League One. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's not a bad shout. But would John know somebody who's a Scotland international player?
I don't think he needs to know them personally. It might be used these contacts to get someone.
He's not used somebody for Super Scoreboard, is he? He's not making it that easy. That's one of the questions we could ask down the line.
I mean, if it's someone for Super Scoreboard, I'll be fuming.
Maybe that's the question we ask down the line.
Yes, exactly. So we've only got one question per week.
Okay.
What do you think then?
I do like that one.
The Scotland.
Or do we rule out Super Scoreboard from the get-go or not?
I don't know. Because it's a risk, though, because obviously we'll need to wait until next week to ask another question. So I feel like if we use the Super Scoreboard question, it's almost wasted if it's a no.
It is wasted then, isn't it?
Because there's only a very small amount of people. Like, it's a risky question to go for.
And if it's a no, then, yeah, you're kind of like back to square one.
You're back to square one.
Okay. Should we do your question? And I like your question.
Okay.
So your question is, but don't you press any buttons yet until we officially tell you what the question is. So how are you wording this question?
My question is going to be, have you won any senior Scotland international caps?
Right, and that is the question.
Yeah, that is the question, okay.
So get ready to answer this. This is our question. You ready? Go, Stephen.
For the mass footballer, question number one. Have you won any senior international Scotland caps?
No.
So he's shite. So we've got a shit footballer.
Right.
For the first footballer of the season.
Right. So then.
So he's not good enough to get a senior cap for Scotland when everybody in their dug have got a senior cap for Scotland. Even Mark Wilson got a cap for Scotland. For
well, it rules out Mark Wilson from Super Scoreboard.
That's what I'm saying. Even if Mark Wilson can get a cap, then who have we got here?
It does mean that Gordon DL is still in play at this stage, yes, as well. Because he never won any senior caps for Scotland.
So he didn't win a... we are talking about... If it's producer John involved, it'll probably be somebody like... It'll be in the Falkirk squad or something.
Yeah, it'll be...
Is it Crunchy? Maybe?
I was going to say it'll be Kevin McAllister. Is that his name? Kevin McAllister?
Aye.
Same guy.
But anyway, so that was it. So we now know that the mass footballer is not won a senior cap for Scotland. But not just a senior cap... Can we just, because it's a similar question. No Scotland caps whatsoever, even at boy level,
another question.
It's not. And we're talking about Scotland as a whole. That's the same thing. Can you just confirm that for me, please? No, I know, but just, did this person win caps for Scotland at any level?
Aye.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
Right. So.
But not senior level.
But not senior level. Right.
Oh,
okay. Right.
That makes it interesting.
Right. So this person.
That's narrowed it down.
The mass footballer won youth caps for Scotland.
Lower level.
So under 21s and down.
Yeah. 17s, under 15s, under 16s.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But never made it to the senior squad.
Great. Okay, that's a great way to start it. Brilliant.
Okay, so get your suggestions for questions.
Questions, yeah.
For the Mass Footballer on at Big Football Scott. You can leave them on our YouTube channel as well. So get in touch there or at Big Football Scott on Twitter and Instagram.
Send us your questions, not your guesses as to who you think is, but what would be a really good question to narrow down who it is.
The Masked Footballer. Thank you very much. I really struggle saying the word masked.
The Masked Footballer.
Masked Footballer. Right, time to go round the grounds. We spoke about this earlier on, and since it's been a big week for Rangers, they have a manager who's just signed a new contract extension, but it's been a fairly turbulent summer, let's say. I believe on the line now, we've got Scott from the Battle Fever podcast. Scott, are you there?
I'm here, mate, yes.
How are you doing, Scott? You okay, pal?
I don't know, probably ask me tomorrow after the Rangers game.
Dynamo Kiev.
Of course, yeah, we'll chat about that.
Scott, I was on your podcast, the Battle Fever podcast on Thursday night, reviewing the game, previewing the game on Saturday, here we are the day after the weekend, and I just want to say, can you hear the Rangers sing? No, no. You were all shouting your mouths off and bumping your gums about how you're going to do this to Hearts, how you're going to do this to us, how you're going to be leaving Tynecastle with 3 points. You left with 1 point, and you left with a point that wasn't deserved either, because I thought Hearts were probably the better side on the day.
You feel better after that, aye? I tell you one thing. If you can't beat us on Saturday, then I don't have much hope for your prediction of Hearts challenging for the title. And the evidence of Saturday, none of them's challenging for the title. Let's get that out the road straight away. Hearts on Saturday probably shaded it, if I'm being honest. Yes, Rangers were shockingly bad, especially first half. But I believe the person who was shouting and bawling and saying they were going to pump a team was you, saying Hearts were going to pump us. No, the other way about it.
Listen, 0-0, I'll take that. And
you won 0-0, well done. You won 0-0.
Aye, very good. let's talk about bigger things that I brought just now.
Yes.
The problems that Rangers have they're experiencing at the moment, having to play at Hampden, etc. There's a lot going on there. I'm going to ask you as a Rangers fan, so I didn't get the chance to ask you this on your own podcast on Thursday night. Where do you and the Rangers fans expect to be this time next year? Will you be challenging for a title? Can you win the title? Or have you already given up on that?
I think if kind of speak for all my fellow Rangers fans, but I think if you look online, there's a lot of people are, you know, it's negative in their outlook for the season. And that's just down to the way the whole... You've mentioned the Hampden thing, the Ibrox debacle as a joke. Do you know what I mean? A perfect example about that, you know, why that's a joke, is you look at Rangers recently in Europe, we have been tremendous at times. The Champions League season aside, that was probably a step up for us. But the Europa League runs, we got to Seville through getting a result away from home or being in the tie away from home and bringing it back to Ibrox. And the crowd, the Ibrox atmosphere, the factor of, you know... You're playing at Ibrox and the history and all that brings. It got us to Seville. You know, now tomorrow night, you're hopeful we still be in the tie. That's more put nine past Partizan in the previous round. And you're hoping to get them back, but you're bringing it back to Hampden. Hampden's a shite stadium. I know you two go to Scotland games a lot. It's a shite stadium.
It's
ridiculous. It should never be. It's an embarrassment to be the National Stadium. And that's where we're having to play, and it's the same when Motherwell come to town on Saturday in the league. You know, they're going to come and, by all accounts, they weren't great against County either at the weekend, but they're going to come and think it's a good chance here to have a pop at Rangers and see what happens. That's ultimately what our board have created at the start of this season. It's allowed the negativity to fester. So the day we hoisted up 55 against Aberdeen, which was the 15th of May in 2021, the regression has been unbelievable.
Do you know what astounded me, Scott, is the fact that Beale has got a better record than Clermont after the same amount of games. That's staggering. I couldn't believe that when I read that the weekend.
True, yeah, but I mean, when Beale came in, the title was gone. He never really rejuvenated it at all. The pressure was off slightly. Beat Celtic when the pressure was off. Clermont came in, we actually managed to salvage some sort of title race. In the end, we came up short. Probably because, again, the board lets the manager down in January in terms of recruitment and stuff like that, and doesn't he go and get the firepower required to overhaul Celtic? it's the same this summer. The fact that we are starting games in 24, 25, we're starting a new season with Scott Wright as our right winger, frightens me, to be quite honest with you. And then you look at the back. I mean, you and we spoke about John Souter on Thursday night on our podcast, and John Souter doesn't feel with any kind of confidence. Ben Davies was a schoolboy at times up against that boy, Vargas, so much so that Clement has to take him off, you know, halfway through the second half to try and get a bit of stability in the back there with Balogun, who should have started. This is our problem with Clement. I believe the fans back Clement. I believe the fans want to back Clement. He needs to show, I know he's up against it, his hands are tied behind his back here, but he needs to show some kind of strategy, system, you know, play that we're heading down. You know, even under Gerrard, when we were poor, when he first came in, there was an identity about Rangers. We don't have that at the minute. And that's the most alarming thing.
Just in terms of, you know, not backing Clement in January and then not in the summer there, I noticed in his interview last week when he signed his new contract, it sounded like one of the objectives was to basically lower the wage bill. And obviously with Goldson leaving, a few other players leaving,
Barisic,
that will have clearly happened because the players that have brought in won't have been on as big wages. But, you know, let's be honest, the gap in finances between Rangers and Celtic is huge. It's massive at the moment. That is obviously down to a number of factors, the fact that Celtic have been in the Champions League more regular than Rangers and stuff like that as well.
And they've also been very good in recruitment and selling on.
And
That's a key point. Of course,
I mean, it almost feels like Rangers kept on to their players like Morelos, for example, Kent, for far too long, Kent, and then ended up losing them for nothing. But, you know, without going down that road, is it not just the case that, you know, Rangers financially are so far behind Celtic that it's going to take literally tens of millions of pounds to catch up with Celtic now? But where's that coming from?
Listen, absolutely, there's a financial disparity. Of course there is. But if you look at, and I'll go back to Ben Davies, I believe Ben Davies is 27 grand a week. You show me a Celtic centre-half, you know, I bet you Carter Vickers will be on a fair amount, fair enough, yeah. Celtic are probably struggling at centre-half aside for him, to be fair to them. But they make it work. You know, even if you've gone to the Japanese boys they signed, there'll not be any of them when they signed anyway, anywhere near 27 grand a week. Do you know what I mean? So either there's a financial disparity, I don't get that, but the money we have had, we have squandered in, you know, bucket fees, you know, for years now. And that's the problem. And you're right, going back to, you know, when Rangers won the league and won it at a canter, there should have been one or two moved on and that money reinvested in the squad. That probably keeps Gerrard turned on as well and doesn't allow him to, you know, I get Aston Villa the money and whatever and going down south, I get all that. But I believe Gerrard would have wanted the crack at the Champions League, would have wanted the chance to, okay, I've overhauled Celtic now, let's keep the foot in the throat and go. Unfortunately, he didn't get that. And now we're still, we've seen Barisic last year saying part of him left Rangers. When Gerrard left Rangers, there is a rot within the Rangers squad that needs to be fixed. Clement will get the time to fix it, but he has to also show in the park that there's a product.
But Scott, you say he's going to get the time to fix it, but will he? Right, you get the draw against Hearts at the weekend there. A couple of weeks from now, you're going to play Celtic at Parkhead. If you lose that, if you don't get through in the Champions League, do you think the fans will still want Clement to get the time to sort it?
Well, I think the Champions League's a hard one because obviously that's where we want to be. However, I believe if you canvass the Rangers support in its entirety, then now there's no many as believe that we will get past Dynamo Kiev. But getting a draw at Tynecastle, there's been many good Rangers sides, and the way Clement dressed it up on Saturday was wrong, but there's been many good Rangers sides that have went to Tynecastle and took a point, and it's turned out to be a decent result at the end of the season. It's on day one, it's off the back of that pre-season that we've had, it's off the back of the recruitment. It's, you know, there's too much negativity which is festering away in that. I mean, I remember we won the treble in 2002 and we got a draw at Kilmarnock. You know, nobody was throwing the toys out the pram then. We also exited the Champions League that year and won the treble. It's just different, though. There's a style of play there. There's signs that you're getting a team there that you can believe in. We don't have that at the moment, and I think that's the most alarming thing. Rather than the result can happen at Tynecastle. Granted, no recently, because we've owned Hearts, to be quite honest with you, but a draw at Tynecastle can happen. A defeat at Tynecastle can happen. It's how we react to it, and tomorrow night they've got an excellent opportunity to go over there and show that they do have balls to stand up and get a result for Rangers at a difficult venue against a difficult opponent. Bring it back to will unfortunately be Hampden and try and see that out. Then they've got two home games in the league before they have to go to Celtic Park. So will he get time? Probably ask me after September the 1st.
Scott, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, mate. And anytime you want me on your podcast, let me know.
It was a pleasure to have you on, mate. And thanks very much for doing that. And thanks for having me on the day, lads.
No problem, mate. That's Scott from the Battle Fever podcast. Great lads. It was a good laugh. Good banter. And
yep.
And I wish you nothing but pain for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks very much,
Cheers,
Scott.
Scott,
that's Scott from the Battle Fever podcast. If you want to go and listen to Ewan's episode, I'm sure it'll be
It's up and running, yeah. It's the most listened to and watched podcast in the history of the Battle Fever podcast.
I'm sure it is. Aye, very Donald Trump of you. Right, okay, it's a brand new season of the podcast, but we still have this to do, obviously.
Yes!
It is... the shootout quiz, and we're doing it slightly differently this year because Ewan gets pumped every single week. I mean, it didn't even matter when we changed it and we ended up getting the same questions. It still meant that you still lost every week. Are you using your iPad to write down your answers?
Yes.
Like an absolute fanny. Right, okay then.
Fuck off.
So anyway... we're going to get five questions. We're going to write down the answers and show them to the camera. If you're watching on YouTube, obviously we'll say them if you're just listening to us. Producer Scott, hello. How are you doing, Producer Scott? You okay? Are you there?
Yep.
Yes. He is our quiz master today. Producer John is off. Just to clarify, five questions, same questions for each of us. We do have a top bin question, and this is how it works. We will say, I want a top bin question. That means we'll get a different question from one another. It will substitute in for the normal question that you should have got, basically.
Yes, it'll make sense as we go along.
Precisely,
but we're all getting the same five questions until you play what I would describe as your joker.
Your top
which
bin.
Is your top bin question, where I would get, for example, I went, I play top bin, I get a chance to get 2 points, and you'll just go with your normal question.
I'll just go with the normal question for one. Right, okay. Scott, are you ready? Are you ready, Ewan? Are we all ready?
I'm refreshed. I've done a lot of studying over the weekend.
Let's do it then. Here we go then.
Okay, question number one, guys.
Yeah, go on.
Who was the top scorer in last season's Scottish Championship?
Oh. Oh.
I mean, I've got it already, Ewan.
Hold on. Right, I've got mine.
You've got yours?
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy with mine.
I'm happy with mine. Hold on. Wait. No. Yeah, I'm ready.
Right, okay. I'll go first and reveal my answer. I believe the answer to be Brian Graham.
Brian Graham.
Of Partick Thistle.
I have gone with...
Patrick Graham.
No, Partick.
Partick Graham. He's not a real person, though.
It's Graham at Partick.
Partick Graham. Who's he?
No, it's not Patrick Graham. It's Partick Graham. I've gone with Graham.
Okay.
Brian Graham.
Well done.
Told you, I'm ready for this season, baby.
Okay, question number two, let's go.
Okay, question number two. Who holds the record for the youngest player to play in the Scottish Premiership?
Go and read that again.
Who holds the record for the youngest player to play in the Scottish Premiership? So at time of their debut, who holds that record?
I've got an answer.
Is it the right answer?
I think I'm close. It's one of two for me. Are they Scottish?
No, I didn't say that.
What was the question? Read it again quickly before the timer runs out.
Who holds the record for the youngest player to play in the Scottish Premiership? They were the youngest player to play the game in the Scottish Premiership.
Okay. I've got two answers.
Yeah, but you...
I'm going with the top one as my answer, but I've got two. It's one of two for me.
Stephen, have you got an answer?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's right, though.
Can I go first this time?
Go for it.
The answer I'm going with is that Mark Burchell.
Mark Burchell?
Yeah, or Simon Donnelly. But I'm going to go with Burchell.
Okay, I've gone for Aaron Hickey.
That's a great shout. That's a brilliant shout.
I don't think it is Aaron Hickey, though. I'd be surprised if it was.
So, even counting both of Ewan's answers...
And Marshall is saved!
If he's right there, Aaron Hickey, I'm...
No, no, you're both wrong. The answer is actually Lennon Miller.
We're so talking about him.
And he actually holds the record by almost 5 months.
Does he?
Oh, so it's not even close.
So Lennon Miller is the youngest player to play in top flight Scottish football.
Yep.
Ever.
That.
Ever.
Well, Scottish Premiership.
Scottish Premiership.
Yeah.
That's unreal, that.
Okay, question number three. Let's move on.
Okay, which ex-Rangers striker scored more goals for Croatia? Dado Perzo or Nikica Jelovic?
Oh, Jelovic, he went to Everton as well.
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Say, read that again.
Which ex-Rangers striker scored more goals for Croatia? Dado Perzo or Nikica Jelovic? And it's only senior goals, of course.
Senior goals for the national team.
Yep.
Well, both those players were around my time when I was doing the football phone-in on Real Radio with Alan Ruff.
Real Radio football phone-in.
The Real Radio football phone-in, and I watched those two players regularly in that decade in the noughties. Jelovic went on to Everton. He was very good, actually. He was a good player. Did he not score a winner in a cup final, Jelovic? Hit the inside of the post.
League Cup final.
Celtic, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Was that like an extra time?
Something like that. Yeah. You got your answer down?
I've got my answer.
You got an answer, Stephen?
If you're written down an answer.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's tough. I know it's a good one. That's a great question. What question is this? Is question number...
Number three.
Number three, and it's 1-1.
Right.
Yep.
I have gone for Jelovic.
I've gone for Jelovic as well.
Okay, so Nikica Jelovic had 6 senior goals for Croatia. Dado Perzo had 9.
And Marshall is saved!
We're having a nightmare today.
Poor standard so far. Poor standard.
One all so far after 3 questions.
Right, okay, let's move on.
Question number 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm still in question 4. I'm out of it by now.
This is my favourite question I came up with today.
Go on.
Do Celtic now have more players in their squad from Asian countries or Nordic countries? And there are 5 countries in the Nordic region. That's the only clue I'm giving you. There's 5. I'm not going to tell you which countries they are. There's 5 countries.
So it's basically Asia versus the Nordic part of Europe.
Yeah. Do Celtic now have more players in their squad from Asian countries or Nordic countries?
Is Denmark considered a Nordic country?
There are 5 countries in the Nordic region.
But that's not my fucking...
No, but he's not telling you. He literally just said, I'm not going to tell you the countries. So by asking, is Denmark one of the countries?
Is Denmark... Well, I'm asking you then. Is Denmark part of the Nordic map?
Maybe.
You don't know either.
Well, I mean, I've got a fair idea about what the countries would be.
But I'm going with an answer. That's a great question. I'm curious to know what the answer will be. We'll find out shortly.
That's a good question.
So it's 1-1. This is question 4. Nobody's used the top bin question yet. Is it to come? And I'm still in it. We have a chance to win on the opening day of the podcast season. Stephen is still thinking. Is it Asia or is it Nordic? You ready?
Here you go.
I'll go first. I have gone with... The reason why I asked the question with Denmark is because I think Denmark are part of the Nordic map. I've gone one Nordic.
I have gone Asia.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. This is huge. This is huge going to the last question. This is massive.
Ewan, I will tell you that Denmark are, in fact, part of the Nordic
map. Oh, you have a good chance.
But the answer Nordic, I'm afraid.
And Marshall is saved! Yes!
Come on! Get in there!
So,
yes!
Celtic have 7 players from Asia.
God bless now, Celtic's recruitment in Asia. There we are.
And now have 5 from the Nordic region.
Brilliant. Everyone's
happy.
And
they've got like Odin Holm and all that, and Kuhn and O'Reilly.
Kuhn's from Germany.
Germany.
Oh, okay. Fuck's sake.
Right. Ewan, decision time for you.
Well, you're 2-1 up going to question 5.
So
I'm just going to play it. I'm not playing. Because he could get
so
it wrong.
You're basically, you've shat yourself.
No, I'm not shat myself. Because,
you've shat
because
yourself.
You could get it wrong and it goes to a tie break.
You've shat yourself.
No, it could go to a tie break. So let's just go with the normal question. I'm 2-1 down. Question 5. He gets it wrong. I get it right. It goes to a tie break.
I could go for a top bin question though. And just blow you out the water.
Well, do it then.
Oh no, I'm going to go for the normal question. So let's go with question number 5.
Question
the normal
5.
Question,
let's
please.
Do
here
it.
We go.
Okay. Rangers Hefty was signed from Fluminense, but which European country was he playing his football in last season? So the new Rangers striking, the new Rangers player Hefty.
Yeah, the fullback.
Yep.
They tried to sign him in January, and the club said no, you can't have him until the start of the new season.
So he's playing in a European country.
Yeah, I know he was. I remember the Rangers tried to get him, but they couldn't get an agreement with the club that he was playing with. Have you got an answer?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm right, though.
See, I think it might be that. How long have I got left on this timer?
Is Denmark still classed as a Nordic country?
No, it's not that.
30 seconds.
Okay.
I mean, bearing in mind, Ewan, I can afford to get this wrong if you get this wrong, so... So as long as you get it wrong, it doesn't matter what my answer is, really.
I think I might have it right. I'm ready.
Ready?
I've got two answers, but I have scored out an answer.
Okay. I've got my answer too.
Well, I'll go first.
Since you need to get it right.
Since I need to get it right.
Okay.
And then you can tell me whether I've got this wrong or right, and then we'll find out what Stephen's done.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So to go 2-2, hopefully, I did initially go with Poland, but I scored it out and went with Cyprus. Oh, you beauty! Oh, you beauty! Okay, I don't know where I got Cyprus from. I remember something happened in January. I thought Poland, and I thought, is it Czech Republic? And I went, no. Fuck! I can't 2-2. If you've read down Cyprus, I'm going to be fucking raging. So, if you've read down Cyprus, I'll not be happy.
If I've written down Cyprus...
You've won.
I've won.
Yeah, if you've not, we're going
if
to a tiebreaker.
If I've not, we're going to a tiebreaker.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I've got it this far. You please get this wrong. Please say Poland or something, or Portugal.
I have gone for...
What did you go for?
France.
Yes! Get him! Get him! Tiebreak! Oh, you f***ing dancer! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I don't know where I got Cyprus from. I genuinely do not know where Cyprus... I don't know where I got that from. I'm having palpitations here.
Right, tie break.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I think you're both going to hate this question.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Tie break to win the first day of the season. Get in there.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. After the season I had last year, this is unbelievable. This is like a cup final for me. Go on.
To the closest 1,000, how many minutes of Scottish Premiership football did Scott Brown play for Celtic in his career?
Oh my God.
To the closest 1,000.
How many years was he here? How many years was he at Celtic?
Shut up, Ian. Shut
up. You can at least tell me that.
No, you can't.
Well, he joined Celtic when Paul Le Guin was in charge at Rangers, because I remember that day, because Thompson went to Ibrox and Brown went to Celtic. So that was, what, 2006? And he left Celtic when? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Is there a number of years? How many minutes?
To the closest 1,000, yeah. So obviously every 10 games is 90 minutes on average. Or is 900 minutes, sorry, on average.
Yeah, I know that.
So you got about 1,000 minutes for 11
right,
games.
Right, alright, I know that.
Trying to help you.
Math wasn't my strong point when I was at school. Are you doing math there?
20 yeah. seconds.
Right, you can get an answer then.
It's still 20 seconds. It takes me a second to write it down.
Okay, so to the closest 1,000,
This is either miles out or I'm going to be miles too much.
How many minutes of Scottish Premiership football did Scott Brown play for Celtic in his career? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. This is to win the quiz. Somebody's about to win the quiz. This is a tie break. And this is either fucking miles out or I'm nowhere near it. I've not got a clue. I've just done a round number of 70,000.
I've gone for 35,000. Exactly half.
Okay. One of you is closer than the other. Well, by a considerable margin.
Okay.
The answer is 43,000.
Oh.
Stephen, you have won.
Yes! Come on! There we are. Brilliant. Amazing times. I was just toying with you there. I'd like to thank everybody for listening.
Honest to God, you need all the, see this Oscar
all the support that I've had over the summer.
John!
That's Scott.
Whoever it is, fucking pushing the buttons.
My friends, my family.
Scott, go and push the button to end this now.
No. I need my music. So thank you to everyone for all your support. And it's good to start the season the way I left off last season.
You shat yourself. You thought you were going to
need more Champions League
one,
music, Steve.
I think we might need more Champions League music, actually.
You've got skid marks. You're sitting on skid marks just now.
So, sorry, Ewan, just answer the question. Who won the quiz? Yeah, was it you?
But your ass was doing that. It was doing that.
No, but Ewan, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, your ass was doing that.
What will the record book show?
You enjoy your wee
victory. Oh, I will.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Exactly.
It's not going to be as easy for you as it was last season.
You're back. And what was this? And who won
it's
today then?
It's not going to be as
easy
for
today?
You as it was last
You've got
season.
A new bag. Take your microphone. Aye, that's it. Bugger off. Right, there you are. Aye. Right, cheerio. See you next week.
I want to see the numbers for the Scott Brown thing.
Right, see you next week, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. Yeah. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Right, let's do the end of the show then, shall we? That was lovely. Thank you very much for listening, for watching. It's always appreciated. And remember, leave your comments on YouTube as well. We'll be back next Monday with another Big Scottish Football Podcast. I believe it will be episode 96. And remember, always subscribe as well so you don't miss an episode. Clyde One Super Scoreboard back every single night during the week from 6 p.m. taking your calls 01419511025. And then, of course, we are back every single Saturday with a Big Saturday Football Show everywhere else across Scotland apart from Clyde One. We'll be back next week. Get your shouts in for the masked footballer as well. What questions you'd like to see us ask, and of course, overrated. The Killy Pie is overrated. It's all down to you at Big Football Scott if you want to have your show. And we will catch you next week for some more Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheery bye.